This week, our member of the month, Mr. Rich.
Hey!
I want you to come up here. Okay. Come up here and sit on the bench here by me. Galen, is that the way you pronounce your first name, Galen? I always call him Mr. Rich because I think that's a cool name.
Yeah, I would like Galen better.
Huh?
I would like Galen better.
Okay. All right, I'm going to start calling him Galen.
But before.
Okay. Okay. We're going to, I'm going to ask you some questions, Galen, about your life. We don't know a lot about you, but we're going to try to get some information about you. There's some questions that I ask that you don't want to answer. That's okay. We just go to the next one. But
plead the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah, absolutely. Plead the Fifth. Well, there are some things you want to know about yourself and some that you may not want to know. So we're going to try to get all the dirt, though, here.
Okay. Have mercy, dear Lord.
Let's start by telling me where you were born.
Well, it's not very well known, but I'm born in Great Prairie, Ohio, 16 miles south of Youngstown, Ohio.
Ohio. Great Prairie?
How long did you stay in Ohio?
Till I graduated from high school.
Okay. So you grew up in Ohio?
Yes, sir.
What did your parents do?
Tried to raise a good son. Well, let's see. My dad was a highway construction engineer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my dad was
a homemaker. One of the finest cooks I've ever known.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
My dad said he wanted to quit while I was ahead, so no, I didn't.
You can't mess with perfection, can you?
No, you can't.
So you grew up in, I guess that's like a middle class family, you think?
Yes, sir.
You grew up alone, you went to high school. After high school, where did you move from there?
Well, I went to Ohio State University, like on off the campus.
Wow, one of my favorite schools because they have a great football team. I don't know anything about the school, but I know a lot about their football team. So, how long did you go to Ohio State?
3 and finished up when I got out of the service.
So you went into service were you drafted or did you join?
Drafted.
When you were drafted, you were in, you going to Ohio State, did you go into the Army?
Army Security Agency, yes.
Wow.
So how long were you in the service?
Just 2 years. I was the last of the 2 year drafted to get into the Security Agency.
So when you were in the service, where did you travel to?
Washington, D.C., in a little post just 10 miles from Arthur Godfrey's farm. At that time, Arthur was well known.
So when you got out of the service, were you still single?
When I got out of the service?
Mm-hmm.
No, sir.
So you got married while you were in the service?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You and your wife came, when you got out of service, you went back to Ohio State?
Yes, I finished up there, yes.
Okay. So, you were married, fresh out of the service, graduated from Ohio State. When you look back at your life there in Ohio, what's one of the fondest memories you have?
I guess my work in music and drama on campus.
Were you a member of an organization there on Ohio State that featured music and drama?
Yeah, Louis Dierks, who was one of the nation's finest directors, choir directors, I sang under his direction and also did some drama acting.
So you graduate from Ohio State. Have you and your wife had any children?
Son and a daughter.
Okay, so how old was your were your children now?
I knew you'd ask me that.
I don't mean what are they now, but how old were they when you graduated from school and you moved back here to Texas, right?
Well, I had gone through Texas on my way to Texarkana and just fell in love with your climate. You know, we're Eskimos in Ohio this time of year. But I stayed with my then pastor for a couple of weeks. Decided I was going to come back here. Couldn't do it alone. So I went back home and closed out some things and came down here and lived in Box Springs.
So, you said you came down here and you lived with your pastor. When you were growing up, were you raised in church?
Absolutely, yes. I went to the Lutheran church, which was right across the road from us. And with a German background, you were either Lutheran or Catholic. Praise God, I was Lutheran.
So your mom and dad were members of the Lutheran church. You went to church every Sunday. You were raised in the Lutheran church.
Yes, sir. Got hungry and had to leave.
So you left Ohio. While you were growing up in the Lutheran church, what kind of relationship did you have with Jesus Christ then?
Seeking, I knew there was so much more. I'd almost starved to death in the Lutheran church. And I had an appetite for more of Christ and sought for him in different ways in his will to let me know how precious he was.
So as you, your wife and your, I'm assuming your small children then, they leave Ohio, you graduated from Ohio State, you moved down here. What kind of work did you do down here?
Well, it was, no job. They were holding their hands out for me. I took over as the general manager of a temporary labor service. Okay. Right downtown.
Downtown Dallas?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And how long did you work that job?
Year and a half. The manager of that business came to me one day because I was always a leading salesman. He said, I like your work and I know what you really want to do. You want to be in business for yourself. Would you consider working here half a day and going out and soliciting for our company, meaning him and I? I said, sure, I'd be glad to do that.
So you're down here, you're working, and did your wife work while she was down here?
A little bit, but not too much. I didn't want her to. She was raising children.
Yeah.
So you have one son, one daughter. I'm assuming you...
I have two daughters now, sir.
Two daughters. So I'm assuming that this marriage ended in divorce?
Unfortunately, yes.
When you and your wife were splitting up and did it, you were back into regular flow, were you still involved in the church down here now?
I was, sir. Assemblies of God.
Tell me some of the pastors, because y'all might be interested in hearing this. Tell me some of the pastors that you have been a member of.
I hope you don't mean by name, because my memory isn't that sharp anymore. I'm 114, you know.
Yeah. Well, you look good.
So anyway, I always had a close relationship with my pastor. And praise God, it's growing that way now. My doctor, my lawyer, and my pastor are the three main people in my life. I keep it that way.
So when you were working down here, there's something happened that caused you to have a disability that you have now? What is it that you suffered?
I'm not sure what you mean, sir.
What, did you have a stroke?
No, sir.
Did you have a heart attack?
Okay. Yes, sir. I have congestive heart failure.
Or is it just from eating Billy?
I've learned to live with it. It's not like coronary thrombosis. It's if you just behave yourself, you know, forget climbing steps, forget lifting 150 pounds, and eat sensibly, your heart has a great, almost, well, I don't know what to say, but it has a great way of showing you, telling you, it's time to rest, Galen, and you better do that within that hour or you're going to have problems. So I've been on pretty well. When I get something, like I'm still battling to get over pneumonia completely, I get it harder than I normally would. But I can handle that.
If I were to ask you today, what is it that you want God to do for you today? Not just today, but what is it that you want God to do for you?
Well, we talked about my work, but really, what took over to be full-time was my singing career. I had been asked to go to New York to the Polo Grounds to work out with the New York Giants. Polo Grounds, boy, that dates me. And instead, my singing career was really opening up, and I followed it. And then, just like now, I've been ill for, I'm in Willow Bend Nursing and Therapy Center for 4 years.
Wow.
I just want to be able to walk. I've got everything else equipped, but I just want to be able to walk. Now they think they're going to have to go through my nose and sinuses, and Dr. Anoushka up there has been touched by something. There's a dark shadow around it. Singing, it's actually a very sensitive, and singing really is. The oboe is the most sensitive instrument in the symphonic choir. The voice is far more sensitive than that. I've tried to really take care of it. I do appreciate so deeply being asked here a couple of times to sing. Excuse me. And praise God, it's going to come to that. But just like now, I couldn't sing for you. I'm playing baby with myself. But let me get back, Lord, to serving you full time in my music career that you have blessed me with.
So the question I asked you was, what do you want God to do for you? Let me ask you this question. What are you willing to do for God?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that changes from day to day. I just have really opened my heart up to Him. I was always in such good health and strong as a bull. And nobody told me that when I hit my senior adult stage, that I'm going to have a little different thing to go by. Things are going to touch me more, affect me more. But I'm still believing that soon I will be singing, and that'll be the delight of my life. And I was asked in the late 50s and early 60s by Catherine Coleman to touch base with me and asked me if I would be her national soloist. I had never served God under a woman. I'm sure I'll touch some here with good for you, and others will disagree. That's a sensitive subject. But she's a marvelous pastor and didn't have a healing line in her life. She just pointed out people. You. Cancer people get to the restroom. Marvelous thing. I enjoyed my solo career there. My first song I sang for Catherine in Stambaugh Auditorium in Youngstown, Ohio, was How Great Thou Art. Thon and Bev Shea sang for every service for 2 years for Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when I sang it, there were 455 people, excuse me, at the altar answering God's call upon them. And I was so thrilled I could hardly stand. And I knew that I was in the right place.
Amen.
And in the middle 60s, then I went on from there and traveled some more. I had a fairly understanding wife, but you know, you can get tired even in your calling. You get tired, and when you do, you affect your voice a little bit. So I had to pull back, and I went into business for myself in cleaning of commercial office buildings. I had an El Salvadorian friend of mine, whom I immediately put in to head that up, because that's a business where just be observant sometimes. Not many Americans in it. It's a foreign business. Here in this part of the country, El Salvadorians, well, there's just about three different businesses that you can call it on. And Carlos was bilingual by far, beautiful bilingual. And he took my company from scratch, from nothing. I was out in the field all the time, and it's because I was the president of the company. I didn't play my feet up on a desk, and I was a big shot. I was out there talking to my building managers and seeing if there was anything they needed and so on and so forth. And we grew from zero to the largest company in Texas through Central Texas, where most of the businesses were. For instance, the world headquarters of Zell Corporation is in Irving. 28 people I had in there every evening for 24 years. That just set me up in the business, my goodness. And I was out selling some too, keeping track of what I had. I babied what I had, I really took care of it. And I guess the Lord honored that. I can't pat myself on the back and say, Eamon, you did a great job. I just did a follow-up job, what the Lord opened for me. I realized that. And I stood that way until, I was going to tell you the year, but I can't even tell you the year, but my business in the office cleaning took off. I had been doing janitorial under, I'm mixing things up here a little bit, but a janitorial service under Carlos, who handled the sales account and a few other buildings. And finally, I had to just turn all that down because you can't sell a commercial janitorial service very well. The building manager rightly wants to go out for bids again. So you can't say to whoever's willing to pay you X number of dollars, here's your accounts, and good luck. It doesn't work that way. So I started in the business myself again. And we cleaned office buildings. Instead of just like Zale specializing in certain things, we cleaned office buildings, period. And I did most of the floor work because they were so very, very sensitive about it. And got into something that not many people in the janitorial service did, was clean marble. And I read up on it and started it, and man, it kicked off. The Rich Associates does marble floors, but it was like a windstorm, you know, and I praise the Lord. Because some of those accounts had janitorial service already. But the first time that their company that was cleaning took the wrong step, Mr. Rich, do you remember me? I sure do. It was that type of thing that expanded.
So you were successful in your business. You were in a good relationship between yourself and God. And I'm glad that you said that you realized it wasn't me, it was God doing it. Because that's a lot of people, even today, good Christian people today, I'm even going to talk a little bit about that today, how sometimes we take credit for the good things that happen in our lives when it's not us doing it. We do our part, but without God, we can do nothing. And I'm so glad that you understood that, was a part of that. Did you ever get to the point where after you had your heart attack and things weren't like they did you ever blame God for that?
No, sir. And to correct you just slightly, I didn't have a heart attack. I just realized that I couldn't work like a horse anymore. I had to stop and rest a couple times a day, even 15 or 30 minutes a nap. That just wasn't me. My cardiologist informed me what I had and what I needed to do, and I listened to her faithfully. And here I sit today. You know, not bunkered out.
How did you hear about that?
What?
Through her?
That's
it. You know, her jaw's going most of the time, and it just happened to come out.
Well, I'm so glad that Kelly shared us with you. I'm so glad that you seem like you've had this relationship with Christ from the time you were a young boy.
Yes,
your parents seemed to introduce you to that.
Yes, sir.
You've been in the ministry portion of this and the music portion, and I know that's something you want to get back to. We're excited about the chance that you're going to be able to do that too, but you just turn it over to God and just pray that His will be done for you, and that you just be patient and continue just to keep moving. That's the important thing, is that you don't give up, you don't quit, you just keep moving and be patient. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
It did startle me a little bit, Pastor, that I can still sing at my age, which is truthfully 84. Beche and Ethiopia in the classic field. I could go on and on. Had to taper off until they finally retired. Your voice just tires out. But my voice coach back in my days when I was learning to sing was so emphatic about placing my voice right. That's why I complimented Don when I heard him. He sings through here, not guttural, which will crack up your voice pretty soon if you don't do it right. I didn't sing much for 10 years because my business was so demanding. I knew I had to develop better, leave it alone. But I marveled one day, I was talking to somebody, and I started talking like this. And I knew immediately, He had touched my voice. He had touched my voice.
Amen.
And I started to sing in the living room, and all my dad was very patient, trying to read the newspaper, and his son singing on top of his voice. But I was just so thrilled. I knew that my first love was still in that area. And I started accepting more engagements. In my 30-year career, I'm doing concerts across America. The last 10 of it was strictly gospel. And I was thankful for that. That's where I was really blessed and made a blessing.
Amen.
And that's where I will concentrate when the Lord blesses me to come back. And who knows, I may have a pastor now that will let me sing here sometime. Praise God. I love this church, folks. I love it. I've served in a couple of pretty big churches, but there's just a difference. This, like the congregation today, this is it. I never leave here. I haven't been here many months, I realize, but I never leave here. But what I have felt blessed, and that the Spirit of the Lord is with me, working within me to comfort me, console me, strengthen me. And it's just been God, thank you, God, just been God that brought me to this little church. As a tremendous pastor whom I love and hear it.
I'm so glad we got a chance to talk with you too, Galen, and I'm so excited about what God has in store for you. I'm going to say a prayer and then be sure we're going to get a picture of you today before you leave.
Can we ask questions?
Anybody have a question that would like to? Yeah, Priya.
Galen, you mentioned the author Godfrey. Did you work with them or did you do anything with them?
No, not with Arthur Godfrey. I just had the privilege of being on a security base. It was close to him.
Oh, okay.
In field classes, we could pretty well zoom in when we wanted to.
I remember watching that show.
Yeah, he was at the height of his career in those days. And I was blessed to be in a security agency because my uniform of the day was fatigues with the shirt tail out, unheard of, and low-cut shoes, no boots. And a three-day pass every 6 days. Unheard of, but in the security, you needed it. It's stressful. Messengers coming over, got a lot of them from the Russians, and the Russians knew we were hacking them. All this is coming back to me again now on television. But it has all worked out. I asked the Lord one day, but I didn't forget this. I was seeking Him for something about 2 years ago, and I cried out to Him, Lord, why do I have to wait so long? I'm a little sentimental. You'll have to forgive me.
That's not right.
He spoke to me. Now, you people that are able to say that, He spoke to me. I didn't hear an audible voice, but He speaks in such a way you know it's Him. You know exactly what He said. And He said, Son, I wait until people are to give me, meaning Him, and me giving Him the glory.
Amen.
He insists on it. He demands that. And when you start taking more of it in yourself, look up, you may slip a little bit. But it's been so easy to me to give the Lord the glory because we've had a close relationship.
Amen.
And I just thrill to him. I've shed many tears with my Lord. He's so gracious to me.
Oh, yes. You knew what to give? Pam.
I just have a question. Have you ever had a desire to ever go to Israel in your lifetime?
To Israel?
Have you ever got the chance to go to Israel?
I mean, have you had a desire to go?
That's one of those unfulfilled desires that I still have. An unanswered prayer is go to Israel. I pray for Prime Minister William Netanyahu every night of my life, the Prime Minister of Israel. Of course, if you know the book of Revelations, you know that one day, how far ahead we don't know, but God will win out in that country. Although it amazes me, that little country of Israel is just about the size of New Jersey. And it has these giant enemies all around it, and they haven't touched it too bad yet. Now we finally got a president who is going to be friends with Israel again. I held my breath every time Obama went in there because he never drew very close to Netanyahu. No. And I'm sure Netanyahu feels overwhelmed sometimes, but you can't go wrong by backing Israel.
That's right.
Send them some cash, pray for them earnestly and regularly, and I do.
Mm-hmm. Chris.
This is not a question. I just want to tell you that I know this is a shock, but some Sundays I come and not being in the best of moods by the time I get here, and you'll just say something, or you'll go, oh, your perfume smells nice, or oh, the pastor picked a wonderful wife, or whatever. Even if it was lies, it doesn't matter. It changes my whole attitude, and I appreciate it. It makes me feel better, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can hear how he talks about me. He always lifts me up. I went to go see him yesterday, and he was in bed asleep, and I'm thinking, well, should I wake him up or not?
Yes,
I woke him up, and he was so excited and happy to see me. He's one of these guys that knows how to encourage. Unlike me, he's one of these guys that knows how to encourage and lift people up, and I certainly I appreciate that in you, Galen. I'm going to be looking forward to many, many more Sundays with you, spending time with you, and coming by and getting you, and getting to spend time with you, and one day standing up here, right here, and singing Amazing Grace.
Yeah, amen.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Thank you.
Let's pray, and we're going to have our song service. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today. Father, thank you for Galen and his life. Father, he has been a testimony for you, and it's so good to see somebody who has accepted Jesus Christ at a young age and followed through with that. Father, we all make mistakes. We all slip sometimes. We all are not what we want to be all the time. But Father, you are a forgiving God, a God who is a God of grace and mercy. And Father, we thank you that because of you, God, I can do all things.
That's right.
It's not us doing it, Father. It's you doing it in us. Father, bless Galen. Father, if it's your will, Father, I just pray for the strengthening of his heart and his voice, Father, that he'll be able to come back and do what it is, Father, that he wants to do. Not for himself, Father, but for you, to praise you. Father, thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gabe.
I just want you to know, I don't have a gay bone in my body. But I love this man to death.
Oh, yeah.
I love him so much. And I think that he has probably the best mate he could have ever found.
Amen.
I tell you what, I never know how the word gay can be synonymous with the word happy. That's what it means. Yeah.